You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found in the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Jim Edwards from the Home Advocate Madison. Jim, how are you feeling?
Great today. Thank you.
Awesome. So tell me, what is the Home Advocate?
Home Advocate Madison, the Home Advocate is, well, I'll go back just a little bit. I saw there was a real need for people in the home improvement business.
Mm-hmm.
So if we ever look up like the Better Business Bureau, you look at our complaints.
Sure.
If you add up all the complaints about home renovations, they would easily be number one complaint.
Oh, sure.
Not even close to anything else.
Sure.
And so I knew there was, and I could see people getting in trouble, getting scammed, whatever. And mm-hmm. everyone's heard, you know, either themselves or a friend or someone who's been hurt somehow financially or whatever through the home improvement business.
Sure.
So my job is to kind of, you know, I saw a need for a home advocate. I need someone to stand up for all these people
because mm-hmm.
Most people don't know the rules. They don't know what their rights are.
Okay.
What they shouldn't ask, what they shouldn't do.
Right.
What the usual protocol is.
Sure.
Everything. Everything from contracts to money payments to the work done to warranty issues.
Sure.
All those things. So what they do is they hire me, and then I'm kind of their advocate. So that's how I came up with that name.
So a homeowner would hire you to help them navigate essentially the shark infested waters, let's say, of home improvement companies and all.
Try to make it a much smoother transition than what's been happening in the last, you know, 20, 30 years.
Sure. If not longer, right?
Yeah, right. Just that's all I've seen.
Right. The first time somebody hired somebody else to do some work on their cave or whatever.
Yeah,
That home renovation person or whatever.
Thor ripped him off and
was nowhere to be found. Cashed the check. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. I just had a client of mine that was dealing with liens, with a lien, because in the construction company they can do the home liens and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I thought it's so interesting that how many industries have a tool like the lien that is just automatically implemented.
Yeah.
Like there's just this arm's length trust, if that, between homeowners and the renovation companies. Because either people aren't paying or the renovation companies aren't doing what they're saying that they're going to do. And there's just this such a lack of trust in the industry that rules like that have to come into play. It's crazy.
And that brings up another good point. The lien is basically to protect the renovator,
mm-hmm.
the builder.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot there that's easily accessible for the homeowner who's getting ripped off by the builder or renovator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So hence the advocate.
Yeah. We live in a time right now, the economy is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So construction is going gangbusters.
Right.
Houses are psycho expensive.
Right.
Right. So people have more equity available or money available to throw out their house and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they don't want to sell, so they're fixing up and all that stuff. So home improvement companies are busy, crazy busy.
They've been like that for going on 4 years now.
Okay.
So what happens is there's so little inventory of houses mm-hmm. to be bought out there.
Yeah.
So let's say in real estate, they have a metric that says 1 through 5.
Okay.
And in order for if the exact amount of buyers meets the exact amount of sellers, it's a 5. It's
okay.
Right now, in the last 3 years, they've been about a 1.
Oh.
Over 1 because there's just no inventory out there.
Wow, okay.
So what happens is everyone's remodeling rather than moving
because
there's just no good move.
Sure. So help us, just walk us through, let's say I got a house and I want to do some renovation project. Let's say I just want to redo my kitchen or something like that, right? So I would give you a call, right?
Right.
And then just walk me through the process of how that works.
All right. So I come over, and we try and make it within 48 hours. We get over there, and we talk to them, you know, sit down and just talk about why they called me, what they want to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they want to renovate to sell.
Okay.
So that's a little bit different
sure.
than just renovating to live in.
Sure.
A lot of people renovate to live in, but with the idea of selling in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a third scenario.
Sure.
So anyway, we go over all the scenarios. We go over all their projects that they want to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd sit down and I'd come up with ballpark, pretty close ideas of what this is going to cost them.
Sure.
Prioritize things according to their wish list. And then I go, my job is to go out and match them up with pre-vetted, top-of-the-line people that are still within their budget.
Okay. When you say people, you're talking about contractors and stuff like that?
Contractors, builders, right.
Sure.
Right.
So you must have experience, I imagine, in the building world.
Yeah,
to get into this.
I've been in it forever. It's just my first job, I keep telling people, was I took a semester off of college, and I went down almost a full year. And I went down to Florida, and that's when I got into construction.
Okay.
And my first job was just professional grouter for tile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it was tough. We had to mix grouts in 5 gallon buckets as fast as you possibly can. You had crews of three.
Sure.
And the other two guys were picking them up, one in each arm, and running up, three flights of stairs to the top of the apartment buildings and giving the grout to the tile guy and running back down and doing it over all day long.
Holy cow.
And then we learned how to do the actual grout, and then you went from that to actually learn how to tile set.
Okay.
And so that was my, and then I got into it pretty heavy into the late 80s, early 90s, when mm-hmm. I started working with window companies and so
okay.
on, learning all about windows and sure. roofing and so on.
Installing, selling?
Did it all. You start off and you're installing, but okay. that's to kind of learn how to sell.
Sure.
And then a lot of times you're doing both. You're doing the okay. installation and the selling and sure. so on. So.
Windows are such a weird, they're just a peculiar thing to me.
Yeah.
Because I think, for me, it just seems like the... my mind's going 50 different directions. It seems to me like the LED lights or something like that, where they say they're going to last 50 years or whatever,
right.
last some length of time. I just feel like they've been on the market long enough that we don't need to see light bulbs in the store anymore because all the light bulbs have been replaced.
Right.
Where windows, I think, there's houses that have been built, and they're 5-10 years old, and they're needing replacement windows. And it just
yeah.
seems like that should be more permanent than it is for something that's
it should
essentially
be.
Static.
And again, and I do. I've had a few people call me up and want me to do their home inspection before they bought the house.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a brand new construction, you wouldn't think
sure.
you need it. But you go in there, and I walk right in. And the first thing I look at is the windows.
Sure.
And I go over there, and I can just tell them right away. Here's your window. Here's probably the brand it is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the pros and the cons of each.
Sure.
But most homes, when they're built, are not built. To last, it's like everything these days, right?
Sure.
It's not like in the old days where you built a house and you put in these great old growth Fords,
right.
Wood windows that are
yeah.
supposed to last 50 years.
Yeah.
Now even new homes are putting in vinyl windows.
Okay.
And the ones they're putting in, even in parade homes and nicer homes,
mm-hmm.
they're putting in an apartment grade vinyl window.
Which, when you say apartment grade, just help me with that.
Yeah, apartment grade means that for one thing, the actual sash, the actual window itself, is thinner.
Okay.
And then it doesn't have the high grade vinyl. That vinyl is probably half as thick as it should be.
Oh.
And the insulation value is not nearly as what
okay.
it should be either.
So you're talking about the cheapest window they could
yeah.
possibly find.
Yeah. Right. Because
okay.
you know it's all about money, right?
Sure.
So and then now not only do you have poor window in the beginning, but then you also have a poor warranty with that window, and then the install is probably subpar also.
Gotcha. All right.
So that's what. When people talk about windows, my house is only 10 years old. Why do I have to, spend $25,000 on new windows?
Sure.
Well, they gave you an apartment window.
Sure.
And if you use them a lot, then there's eventually they won't open.
So the main idea is that people, the builders, are essentially banking on people not knowing
right.
the difference between an apartment grade window and
right.
a better one.
Right. It's like the average person, you walk in and you look at brand new carpeting. You can't tell if that's low, medium, or heavy grade carpeting just
okay.
by walking on it.
Sure.
Same thing with the window. So it's all about
all right.
money.
So in a few years, you'll be able to tell. But
same with the window.
Brand
in
new,
a few
sure.
years, you'll be able to know if that's a good window or not in a few
sure.
years, too. Just like
interesting.
Everything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So you were installing, and I imagine you saw construction companies doing shortcuts or doing the good
oh,
thing.
Oh, all the time,
right thing.
Yeah. Even from basic stuff like putting a little foam around the cavity when you're done. And that's
sure.
actually pretty big,
mm-hmm.
and it would cost them literally you know, 50 cents to do it. But they just don't because it's time.
Interesting.
So now air is going to come flying in there. And,
yeah.
And in the winter, if I come in with my thermal imaging infrared camera and I point it up to the window, they can see the blue right around their window. Uh-huh. It means it wasn't foamed. And
sure.
The cold air is coming right in.
Sure.
So
you're talking not even necessarily through the glass itself, but you think, hey, that's going to be cold, right?
Right.
It's not going to be as high of an R value as a wall, but you're talking just the perimeter around the window.
Right, right.
Which it was as simple as, we talking just stuff foam in there or spray foam?
Spray foam is better. They used to stuff fiberglass bad in there, but now a little spray foam will go a long way.
Sure.
And like I said, it literally takes less than a minute.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they don't do it, but I see it all the time.
Weird.
Yeah, I've seen people who put in $40,000 worth of top-of-the-line windows, and they said there's something wrong with them. So I went over there and checked them out. I said, I could tell right away. Give me my putty knife. And then we take a little piece off the trim, and sure enough, you can look outside.
You're kidding.
Yeah, you spent $40,000 for top-of-the-line windows.
Sure.
But it was the install in this case.
Sure. So what would you do?
Well,
because I imagine you were representing the company that installed those windows.
No, I wasn't there. They hired me to come take a look at them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Find out what's wrong.
Okay.
So, but when I went there, I said, well, get the window company. I want their top guy there.
Mm-hmm.
Their manager, whoever. I want them there.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to do all this, we all need to be there. So we went there because it was about an hour drive for me. So we got there, and at first the manager was all in the huff that I was there.
Sure.
And then once we
checking
started
my work.
Yeah. And then once we started opening up a couple, then all of a sudden he was all mousy and the owner was irate at him.
I bet.
Yeah, I said, and it's very expensive trim, cherry wood trim he had on all his windows. So they had to come back and carefully take off all that trim.
Sure.
Spray and put it back in, and then there'll be touch ups because there'll be drywall marks and there'll be this
and
that.
Right.
So if they would have just done it right in the first place.
It would have just taken a couple minutes and the 50 cents, whatever. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
But sometimes, I don't know about this particular company, but some companies subcontract out for their windows.
Okay.
Just like they do for a lot of their stuff.
Sure.
And then you have no control.
So they would have no idea either way.
Right. And so what they do is they pay these subcontractors per window.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere from $50 to $400 a window to put in.
Okay.
And so you can imagine it's all about speed then.
Sure.
You can make $800 that day, or you can make, you know, half that if you're slow.
Sure.
So they're just going to skimp wherever they can.
And just gotcha.
Pop out these windows.
All right. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
I imagine you run into builders or companies that are doing the right thing. It's not all bad, right?
You know,
I'm asking for hope here.
Yeah, you're still not going to get top-line windows unless you – so when the builder comes here, say, hey, here's the house that we got planned. Here's the amount. And then you tell them right there what's your window.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know any better, you can Google it, learn something, talk to some window people, and ask for a window upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll charge a little bit more, but that's the right move right there.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like pay me now or pay me a lot later.
Sure, sure.
So, that's the best thing to do, but most people would have no idea.
Right.
So I've even had people hire me and look at plans with them.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
And this last year I had two couples call me up and pay me to come to their house,
mm-hmm.
sit down the blueprints, look over all the tables.
Sure.
I want to see what kind of windows. I want to see all kinds of stuff.
Right.
From the carpeting to the landscaping to the roof to the weight of the shingles. Mm-hmm. I need to know everything. I could tell them where they want to spend some money to upgrade and so
sure.
on. And the builders will be, most good builders will be open to that.
Right. Well, they should be, right?
Yeah.
Right. Talking about a lot of money there.
Yeah, and you would think they'd be better anyway, because then that's less callbacks for them.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, come back over. The house you built me is no good. They should have done it right in the first place.
Right.
Charge a little bit more, but have a beautiful house.
Sure. So how do you, when a client calls you up and they're working with you, are you doing what you can to verify that the builders are doing the right thing, the foam in the windows and stuff like that? Or
no, I'm not. I've never been asked to expedite the house where you go out there every day and check on everything.
Right.
The best I can do is either look at the blueprints and tell them, here's why you need to upgrade this.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it's all done, they have me come over and do my thorough checking inspection.
So you're verifying after the fact that the job was done right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And unfortunately, that can be too late because there's a lot of stuff to drywall hides and stuff.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to verify that things were done right.
Right.
If you have a good builder, that shouldn't be a problem. But again, what's a good builder? Who knows what a good builder is?
So essentially, is the the homeowners relying on you to then find the good builders based on your contact pool, right?
And renovations especially. Builders are one class of people, and they're great, and they work hard. And, you know, you also get your bad ones. But there's a lot of really good builders out there. Same with home remodeling. You know, you take that top 10, maybe 20%, they're worth their weight in gold, and that's about what they charge you.
Sure.
But then the other ones are just nightmares.
Okay.
So it's just one thing after another. All about money. It's all about getting in and out. A lot of times they don't even have the knowledge, or the subs don't have the knowledge to do it right. And it's all about money. Get in, get out.
Sure. I suppose the barrier to entry to become a builder is pretty low, right? A truck and a hammer, more or less.
Right, right. So
maybe a credit card to go to the lumber yard.
To be a real home builder, you have to be a certain level. To be a home remodeler, you don't need anything.
Okay.
And so the first thing I tell people is to make sure that your remodelers are contract, that they have their license, their contractor's license. They at least went that far to go out and get your contractor's license.
What is contractor's license? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a, there's, you need two of them.
Okay.
The first one you need is just called general contractor's license.
Okay.
And that's to kind of prove that you have a, you've been in one place for a while, you actually have a location, even if it's just your house.
Sure.
But the main thing is that you have to have insurance to have that. So you have to have liability and insurance.
Sure.
And then the second license you need to pull a permit is called a dwelling qualifier license.
Okay.
And that means you went through the whole, all the millions of tests. It's like a 150 question test you have to study for and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Blah. So if you have those two, at least you've taken your profession seriously. And at least you're keeping up with your insurance.
Sure.
And that would be step number one.
Okay. Are these state-run licensing, or is this through some other third party?
It's through a state. It's through, the DPS, what's that, Department of Professional Services.
Okay.
They're the ones who license a lot of different industries.
Gotcha.
And they're the ones who license the home improvement business and the contractor's license.
So something like that, once you get that license or those licenses, I should say, are you then set for life, or do you have to renew?
No, you
got
to renew every 2 years.
Okay.
Again, that's good because it keeps you, make sure you're insured, make sure you stay in the ball game, you're taking your new continuing education test. It's sometimes to us contractors, it seems kind of silly, but I can see why they do it, just to kind of weed out the people who don't even want to go that far.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those are the one man in a truck type people.
All right.
You know.
So the people running around, are there contractors running around without licenses?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them.
Okay.
So that's why I tell, and if they haven't gone that far, it means they don't take it seriously. That means you stay away from them.
Okay.
So the first thing you ask for is their license, because at least you know they're insured then.
Sure.
So if something happens on the job, then their insurance will cover it.
You don't lose your house because some guy fell off your roof.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay. Some guy that wasn't licensed didn't know any better.
Right.
Just a buddy.
Yeah, they subbed it out to some roofing company that none of them have insurance. The guy falls, and at least that contractor's insurance will cover it then.
Sure. So, interesting.
Yeah.
So why would a homeowner go to someone like you versus just trying to find a builder or renovator on their own?
And they can.
Okay.
The issue then is why I started my company is because they don't know where to start. So you can go, you know, most people just Google it, right?
Sure.
So you just go Google it. Well, all you're getting there, the home renovators have a lot of money to be on the first few pages of Google.
Sure.
That's all, you know, first top half of the page is all paid. So it's all paid advertising. So you think, well, are they any good? Or are they just throwing a bunch of ads out there?
Sure.
And so first of all, you got to find someone who's good somehow, some way. So you can do that by looking on Yelp and some other reviews.
Sure.
You got to be careful with some of the reviews that are AngelList or HomeAdvisor. You got to be careful with those. I would never trust those. But there's some, you know, you do, if you're really good at searching, you can get, you can do your research. You probably can come up with someone who's okay.
Okay.
But then you got to find out about their pricing. How
sure.
would you ever know?
Sure.
And do you want to do this with three different people?
Sure.
And each one's going to come to your house for 3 hours.
Right.
So now you got 9 hours plus research time. You might have 12 hours in this project. And you got three bids, and you don't know. They're not really, it's hard to compare apples to apples.
Sure.
So you just take the low bid.
Right.
And 75% of the time, that's a mistake.
Sure.
So it's really, unless they're all three really close, then the low one's probably missed something.
Okay.
Or doesn't know how to estimate or
sure.
something.
Sure.
Something's wrong here.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, so I take care of all that.
Okay.
Right. And since the builders are the ones who pay me, mm-hmm. or the homeowners pay me, it's free to the homeowner.
Oh, gotcha. Nice.
Right, right.
Okay.
And so they just pay me a small fee that they would use for marketing anyway.
The builder.
The builders.
Or the subcontractors.
Yeah. Okay. They just pay me off their marketing budget, basically. So
sure.
Why wouldn't homeowners use me to do
sure.
all that legwork with them?
Because
mm-hmm. my people are vetted for licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to be in the house, they have to see drug tests.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to give me good references. And
mm-hmm.
I go check them out. Most of the people, most industries, I know the good, the bad, the ugly about all of them anyway.
Sure.
So I know the good guys and the bad guys.
Right. Okay.
But
so you take care of the vetting and all that jazz?
I take care of all the vetting. And then the biggest thing is time frames.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, well, I need this done in a few weeks. I just laugh because that's not going to happen. But they can. I don't want what another typical trick that remodelers do and builders is they tell you, okay, we'll start, you know, sometime in the spring.
And sure.
It's pretty big.
Right.
You know,
sometime.
Big window. Well, you may not see them until, and then they don't return the calls, which is,
right.
they're notorious for not returning calls.
Right.
Absolutely notorious. And then when they do return your call, it's, well, sorry, I got behind. I'll give you a call in a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Another 3 weeks goes by.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you wanted to have this, you know, you contacted them in February about having a nice gazebo and everything for your 4th of July party. And here it is June. They haven't started yet.
Sure.
And so all of a sudden, one day, you're sitting there, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning, you hear a bunch of trucks, and here they are at your front house. You're like,
right.
What?
Haven't seen them for 3 weeks.
Or
no
least,
call.
No calls. All of a sudden, they show up.
Yeah.
And then what happens is they show up to tear up your bathroom. You're all set to go, and then you don't see them for another 2 weeks. And your bathroom's sitting there all apart.
Sure.
And, oh, sorry, we had to run and finish up another job.
Right. Right.
So all these nightmares that you read about and hear about all the time are now on my shoulders.
Sure.
So,
you know, it's interesting because you look at something like Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're aimed at the do-it-yourselfer.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people would prefer to pay someone.
Yeah.
But they're just, they tried maybe just to, they went on the old Google machine, right, and searched for some home renovator, kitchen remodeling, whatever. And they found a few that, you know, maybe they tried to call 10. Nobody answered any of them. Or if one did, they said, oh, I'll give you a call back, right? They left a bunch of messages.
Right.
Haven't heard anything. You're like, you know what? There's only going to be one of two ways this happens. Either it's not going to get done or I have to do it.
Right.
So it's good to have someone like you, the home advocate, that they can call up and they'll actually get a human, get scheduled, get it taken care of, and at least get the ball rolling and all that jazz. And then you take care of the headache of getting
Absolutely.
All the subs and all that jazz.
Absolutely. So I'm the go-between.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been in the field, so I know a good contract looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to hold them to their metrics,
mm-hmm.
whether it's time or quality.
Sure.
So I can make sure everything happens as smooth as possible.
Sure.
And you still always have hiccups, right? Because you never know what you run into.
Right.
You go take down the wall, and there's a bunch of mice and mess in there. And
sure.
So it's going to add some time and some cost.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually talk all about that before we even get started.
Sure.
About possible things that
imagine,
could go wrong.
Yeah, I imagine that's a problem with any construction job of any kind, right?
Right.
Even if you're replacing windows like we were talking about before,
mm-hmm.
maybe some rot that you couldn't see before that all of a sudden
yeah.
you take out this big chunk of window, now you can see it.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about that with everybody. Here's worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Because your house is 25 years old and your windows have been very wet, there's a good chance that your frame's going to be rotted.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, here's the cost and here's the extra time. So they're well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're at work, I'll take a picture of it and send them to on their phone so they can
okay.
see what we ran into.
Sure.
So I don't quick cover it up before they get home.
Right.
So that's another good service that we offer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So how long has this been around?
Only, I think, not even 3 years yet.
Okay.
Is when I decided that we need an advocate.
Sure.
And I used to do some talk. I haven't done any this year. I used to do talks at senior centers because a lot of seniors were getting ready to downsize to move
mm-hmm.
into some sort of senior housing.
Sure.
And they didn't trust anybody with their homes.
All right,
and,
fair.
Right.
And can't say I blame them.
Right, and they're not you know, big Googlers,
mm-hmm.
so they didn't know where to even start.
Right. Yellow pages don't exist a whole lot anymore.
Exactly. So anyway, I'd go give talks on things to look out for. And,
sure.
And so they would, after the talk, they'd come up and say, well, we'd like to work with you. So it all worked out really well, and we had some good times with some of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, sounds all right. So what did you do before? I guess we left off at the window installation,
mm-hmm.
then moved into window sales.
Yeah, and I've installed or worked in or owned just about anything to do with construction except for electrical and plumbing. I just have no desire.
Sure.
So everything else I've either worked in and or sold or worked with.
Okay.
So, in fact, I used to own a behalf owner of a roofing and siding and window business. I had equity in a flooring company, which is really good to learn all about flooring and how that works.
Sure.
So as I've gone through all these, and that's what, another reason I wanted to become an advocate, because people were actually telling me, you know everything. I used to, I used to own a landscape company too.
Did you really?
Worked with softscapes and hardscapes.
Well, what in the world?
So, yeah. So.
Why'd you get rid of that?
That was a tough one. People don't know. They think that mowing lawns is a big ticket item. It's not.
Sure.
It's hard to make a living mowing lawns.
Oh, really?
You got all these people with you. You got all this high-speed equipment to work out. You got breakdowns. You got maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
If you just do, that's called softscapes, mowing and stuff like that. And if you do just softscapes and you run a clean ship and you work hard and you make everyone come in on Saturdays to change their oil and change their blades and
sure.
so on, you're talking about 5% profit, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, it's a tough one. So the only way you can do it is you do a junk job or junk mowers, which end up doing a junk job.
Sure.
Or you do hardscapes with it, which is the patios and so on.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And that can be a lot of fun. But for that, you're talking about to really do it good, you'd get a little bigger and you'd have people went to school just for that.
Sure.
And I didn't want to get into that.
So, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you end up closing them or selling them? Or
that
what
one,
end up
that
doing?
One I sold to my top employee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flooring I just got out of. And then the window company I sold to my partner, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So can you... Let's just touch on window sales.
Okay.
Because that's always something, you and I have talked about this before offline, where it just seems to be the slime of the slime. In sales of any kind, window salespeople just seem to be a notch or two below mortgage and used car salespeople.
Yeah, if you're about 10 notches below. I have, and if you ever had listened to my talks, and there's a portion that's put aside just for window salesmen.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's how bad it's getting.
All right.
And now they're finding out that there's also a lot of seniors moving out, and they're kind of low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
They still do things on a handshake.
Sure.
My favorite line is, oh, but he was such a nice guy. And it becomes kind of a fun theme throughout my talk about window salesmen.
Funny.
Because they come into your house. Now, they have to be in there for about 3 hours. If they're, not, if they're not in there for 3 hours, that means they did not do their job. And their manager actually gets upset with them.
Okay.
I mean,
didn't do their job from their manager's point of view, not necessarily the homeowner's point of view.
So you walk in there, and first of all, that when you set the appointment with this company, window company, and the person setting the appointment on the other line, the receptionist, whoever, will say, will both decision makers be there? Well, no, my wife doesn't care. Well, we need them both there.
Sure.
Because there'll be lots of questions,
sure,
colors, everything. And, that's not why they're doing it. Doing it because at the end of this whole three-hour presentation, and you give them this price, and you can. It's so easy to say, well, Mr. Salesman, I'd like to, but I'm just going to ask my spouse.
Sure.
There's no comeback for that.
All right.
So they're dead in the water.
Sure.
So there's even companies out there that are so unscrupulous that when they walk in, and they got all their samples of windows and corner cuts, everything with them. They walk in, glad to see you, Mr. Homebuyer. Hey, where's your wife? I thought she was going to be here. Oh, sorry, she had to run down. Billy's got a hockey game. We forgot about blah, blah.
Sure.
Now, rather than go through this all to have that, I got to ask my wife, the salesman will just say, well, okay, but there's a lot of questions. Boy, oh, boy, I tell you what. When's a good time I can come back where I can catch you both here?
Sure.
It makes it sound like they're doing it because there's all these questions. They're not. They're doing it because they don't want that objection at the end.
Sure.
So it's all about sales.
They want somebody to have the ability to say yes, because right now, without that other spouse or whatever,
it's too easy to say, I got to ask.
All they have is the ability to say no. Yep. They don't even have the ability to say yes.
Absolutely. So that you can start with that. Then you can go and then they sit down and they got Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner there and they got all these samples and they got a kit to show with a hot light why their glass is better than everybody else's glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a sample window to open and close because they know that you think they're being nice, showing everything. they're doing it because in your mind, in the homeowner's mind, once you get your hands on stuff, you get involved.
Something tangible, you can touch
it. Yeah, and you've been in here for 3 hours now.
Sure.
He spent all this time, and he's really nice. He's asked me about my kids and their gymnastic program because his kid went to gymnastics.
Sure.
And then they're measuring all the windows, and then they're doing this big, and then they pull out their big iPad, and they show you this big PowerPoint presentation about how their company is the best company in the world.
Sure.
All that is for at the very end, when it comes time to close the sale,
mm-hmm.
you can't say, well, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, you've seen the window, right? And you can probably agree with me, this is like the best window out there after mm-hmm. everything I went through.
Sure.
Yeah. And I've shown you my company on my iPad, and you can see where we're really reputable. Where if there's something wrong, you know that we're going to be there. Would you agree that we're the best company, someone you could trust to have your, And I hope you like me, right? Okay. So, well, I tell you what, I'm going to get the paperwork going. Why don't we just get this done now?
Sure. Get them on the yes cycle.
Yeah, get them on the yes cycle. And so then you start saying, and then if they say, well, we'd like to, yes to all those stuff, but we got two more people coming.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get three bids. And the first thing the salesman, really? So, let me see, I've been here 3.5 hours. So you're willing to put in about 12 hours?
Sure.
Just for what, you know? And they go, was there anything you didn't see in the window?
Well,
I
mean, sure.
What didn't I show you that you're looking for?
Because
mm-hmm. a no means you just want more information. I know that.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
So you tell me what I need to tell you. What did I tell you for you to get your business
today?
Have I earned your business today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine. But I just know Angie's List told me I should get three bids.
Sure.
So I'm not going to do anything with three bids. I'm mm-hmm. just not. Okay, I tell you what, time is money. It cost me about $400. It cost my company $400 to send me out here, if you include all the marketing costs and everything else.
Sure.
So I'll tell you what, if we sign right now, I don't have to come back. I don't have to go through half this again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of $400, I'm going to double it. If I give you $800 in your pocket right now, would that be something you'd be interested in to get this?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, so you're trying all these lines,
right?
And then after like two or three, what they call a drop, that's a drop.
Mm-hmm.
After two or three drops, you're still not biting.
Right.
They go, okay, I understand. We don't work under pressure, even though they've been pressuring you for the last hour.
Right.
We don't work under pressure. So I tell you what, I'm just going to fill out this form real quick that shows that you didn't want to buy, right? Didn't want to make a decision today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to, if you wanted to sign it for me, it means that I didn't hold a gun to your head or mm-hmm. anything. And then I'm just going to call my boss real quick, find out where my next stop is.
Sure.
Does that sound okay? Yeah, we'll sign it. So what he's doing is calling his boss, and his boss will say, okay, let me talk to him real quick. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Homer, my boss just wants to talk to you. He thinks that I did something wrong. He thinks that maybe, you know, we got a great window, great cut. Maybe it was me.
Sure.
Can you just tell him that he's nice? Would that be okay? All right. So then the boss gets on the phone, and he'll go through the whole thing again.
Sure.
Mr. and Mrs. Homer, it cost me a lot of money to get him there. What's it going to take? You tell me.
Sure.
I can cut you deals that Jim can't. So I'm willing to cut you a deal right now. You know you want this window for your house, right? Right. So let's get it done. So this is the way these companies are working now.
Sure.
Instead of hiring people who have been in construction, who know windows,
mm-hmm.
they're hiring these young guns who have never picked up a screwdriver in their life.
Sure.
But they're really good. They used to be selling used cars.
Sure.
They used to sell insurance that didn't work out. So
their job is to close the deal regardless of what it is that they're selling.
Close the deal regardless. Right.
Okay.
Right. And which is all, you know, and that's all, that's, you know, if everyone's got their journey. But the problem is now you paid for that salesman.
Sure.
Typically 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So that salesman just made 10% off you when they really knew nothing about windows or install.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
They just knew how to get you to say yes.
Yeah, and they work for a company where there's managers that make six figures and managers that make six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a 10,000 square foot showroom. So you can imagine what that does to their costs of their windows.
Sure. So in the end, people are going to have to get windows somehow, right?
Right.
So what do they do or what should they
exactly.
do?
Exactly. So the best thing to do is to use Google. It's
okay.
a big thing. And then to just do your shopping. And just do not fall for any of these things. So if you call a company and just if they absolutely have to get out to your house,
mm-hmm.
Then say, okay, come on out. But I'm just telling you right now, you got 1 hour. I'm not going to do this 3 hour thing.
Sure.
If that's it.
Try to wear them down.
Well, there's people who buy just because they said, I just want them on my house. He wouldn't leave.
Yeah, right.
So I just signed.
Sure.
You know, or he was such a nice guy. I can't believe that I paid 50% more than I should have.
Sure.
So, and most of those companies have good windows. Mm-hmm. It's just too bad they have this business model where six people got to get paid on every window that goes out. You know?
Sure, sure.
So
that adds to the total cost, and in the end, it comes out of the homeowner's pocketbook.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too long ago, when average double hung was for with those companies was going for about $1,000, $1,200.
Okay.
There's one place in town that was up to almost $2,000 for those.
Wow.
Why can get or other venues can get you that same window for probably $750.
Wow, installed?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that just shows you how that business model of all the big showrooms and all the salespeople and all the managers, that just does so much to the cost of the window.
Sure. So interesting.
You don't necessarily get better service. Some people think that, well, I'm willing to pay $1,000 a window because I got this great company behind you. They make just as many mistakes.
Okay.
They used to have the same window installers that everybody does.
Sure.
A lot of times they're subcontractors.
Sure.
Even if they're not, they're no better than the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
What I really like people to do is if they can find a carpenter who will do windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his only thing, but he's willing to put in windows because they.
Sure.
I haven't seen many carpenters that are not expert window installers, and they'll take the time to do it right.
Sure.
Yeah, especially if they run into problems, they know how to fix them.
Sure.
Whereas these subcontractors that just do windows by the window don't know what to do when they run into stuff, so they just quick stick it in there, throw a bunch of caulk, and run.
So they see some rot, and they say, I don't want this nightmare. Yeah. Lunch is soon.
Let's just stick a piece of raw wood on there. We'll throw in the window. We'll caulk it. They'll never see it.
Sure.
And it happens all the time. So if they can find a good carpenter who's willing to put in windows, that carpenter will go to a supply shop here in town and get the windows, and they're okay. They're not top line, but they're fine.
Sure.
They're a 30-year window.
Okay. 30 or 3?
30.
30,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, they'll last 30 years before you start having problems with them.
What? That's a while?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What should they last? I don't know. 30
years
seems
like a
long time.
Well, they'll talk about these 50-year, and the biggest scam is the 100-year warranty or the lifetime warranty.
Okay.
Well, there's no one's ever going to hold them to it. And they're usually a prorated, which means after 10 years, it's really not worth much anyway.
Sure.
And usually in the first 2 years is when you'll know if there's something wrong with the window or something wrong with the install.
Gotcha. You'll see leaks or the condensation or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, things won't open right. They won't operate right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a good carpenter who gives you puts in a decent window, you'll be good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if somebody wanted to find you to pick your brain or to have you look over blueprints or double check their builder's work or just have you in there to bring in the people that you work with, how can they reach you?
You can just go to my website. It's the easiest.
Okay.
HomeAdvocateMadison.com.
Okay.
Real simple.
Awesome. So the homeowner's going to reach out to you. You're going to help them find the people. You're going to get the jobs all taken care of. Are there any jobs that are too big or too small?
No. We do everything from replacing garbage disposal up to $150,000 additions.
Okay.
And everything in between. What's big right now are kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels, and basement renovations.
Sure.
Everyone changing their basement or their attic into a usable space.
Sure.
Is big right now.
Mm-hmm.
And same with kitchen remodels. And that's why there's a lot of these people. Another reason I came into this business, because I came into this about the same time that started really getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the, I don't want to say scamming, but that's where a lot of problems are coming in.
Okay.
So all these companies that used to be roofing companies decided, well, if I'm going to put in roofing, I might as well put in windows. So they became roofing, windows, and siding companies. And for years, that's how they operated.
Sure.
And now, because that's too competitive and too easy for people to compare pricing, they went into, we'll do exteriors, but we want to do kitchens and bath remodels and basement remodels, but mainly kitchen and baths.
Sure.
Because they're if you're in someone's home for hours and hours going over to kitchen designs, meeting with their kitchen design people, picking out cabinets, you're probably not going to do that with more than one company, assuming you like that estimate.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, there's a good chance you're not. And if they need blueprints and everything, they're going to say, okay, Mr. Homeowner, we'll do them, but the blueprints are expensive. So we're going to charge you $1,500 for the full kitchen design, which is reasonable if you knew today's prices. However, we're going to go one step further and subtract that $1,500 from your job
sure.
at the end.
Okay.
And that's just so you don't take all that work we did for and go get it bid out among everybody else.
Right.
Which you're welcome to do, but you'll lose. But we got to protect ourselves.
Sure.
And that, and that's I think that's fair too. I don't think there's anything out of bounds with that.
Right.
But what is out of bounds is that's actually from their point of view, they're just doing it to tie you in.
Sure.
So
gotcha.
So that's why all these hotshot companies are going to baths and kitchens now,
because
they know that's where there's no competition. They can charge what they want, basically. Sure.
Interesting.
So yeah.
All right.
And they'll blame the high cost and the cost of wood or the tariffs or the price of quartz or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just making a lot of money off people.
Sure. So one of the things that I've noticed from owning a house for, I don't know, it seems like forever, but I know the house isn't paid off, so it must not be quite forever, is that when I try to get a job done and you try to call construction companies, landscapers, whatever, you just cannot get a hold of anyone. And when you leave a message, we're still having this problem with gutters. I think I called 10 gutter places. And I even had one that had some answering service answer. You could tell it was this call center because you could hear 50 million people in the background talking. And the guy was useless because he's like, oh, someone will come out to check out your gutters. Right? And no one ever did. And right. I said, oh, are we scheduling? Like, when are they coming out? And they're like, no, we don't schedule it because they're outside. So it's just when they're in your neighborhood. And nothing ever happened with that. That was the closest one that I got to two-way communication with any one of these companies.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I just leave a message, and I haven't heard anything back.
Is that something?
So when somebody reaches out to you, and they get a hold of you, and they get in contact with you, are you able to actually get in touch with these contractors?
Mm-hmm.
You have because a red phone or something like that to them?
Well, most people who have been fully vetted by me, I give them a fair amount of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I help expedite the whole thing, make it a lot easier on them too.
Sure. Okay.
Because I'm the one dealing with the homeowner also.
Sure.
So they're more than eager to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone calls up, we'll get out to their house. We try to get out with them in 48 hours to meet with them, to go over all their renovations, go over all their budgets, everything.
Sure.
And then within another 48 hours, I get whoever I think is a good fit for him out there. I'm almost always there in that first meeting because, again, I'm working for the advocate. So I want to make sure that they're comfortable with this builder that I thought would be a good fix for him, for not only quality but for price.
Sure.
And if they like that person, everything's fine. Then I ask the builder homeowner, you got 48 hours to give him an estimate now.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
Really, that alone saves months. If people knew what it's like now, and if you're out there and you've touched on it a little bit, there's people who can't find anyone to return their call even.
Sure.
The messages, emails, no one's returning a call. They finally give up, or they come out there. Yeah, okay, they come out there in a week, week or two. They overlook everything. Everything sounds good. And then you don't hear from them for like 2 or 3 months. Sorry, I'm just way behind estimates.
Sure.
And that is so common.
Oh.
And then you finally do get the estimate. Now it's been 2 months already.
Sure.
Or, anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now you say, okay, let's start. Okay, what do you need? Oh, I need a down payment of a third or a half or whatever.
Sure.
And they give you a down payment. You may not even hear from them for 4, 5, 6 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just the way it is right now.
Sure.
These guys have so much business, they're just going after low-hanging fruit.
So they can treat customers essentially like dirt because there's so many customers.
Well, especially once they get your down payment check.
Sure.
So that's another thing I watch out for. That's not going to happen on my watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't give them a down payment, you may never, ever hear from them again.
Sure.
Yeah, he came over, he did the estimate, he looked, everything was going good. I said, fine, we'll use you. Boom. Never heard from them again. And they it's just a crazy world, right? So that's another reason we need a home advocate to get on the side of these homeowners who are getting taken like this.
It is so interesting that you mentioned that because I see time and time again these guys, these construction companies, they're tossing thousands of dollars to home shows and all this kind of stuff. They collect all these leads. And then they don't do anything with it. You think, man, if you would just spend a little bit of money or even just a little bit of time following up on all the people that you already made promises to, you'd be rolling smooth. You wouldn't need any of these expos or anything like that.
Right, right. I also thought that, too. For how much money they spend on customer acquisition, and then they just totally drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, boy. It's
huge.
But, and it's a point you and I have talked about before that just because you're a good carpenter doesn't make you a good businessman.
Right.
So to own your own company, you have to be both.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know your trade.
Right.
And you have to have some good business acumen to make it work.
Right. Yeah, so, you think of how many companies in the contracting world, right, whether it's painters or plumbers or whatever, are just one-man shows, and they essentially own their job.
Right.
And they're not the greatest in the world. Books are probably a mess, if they even exist.
Yeah.
You wonder what tax time looks like for them.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, if there is one. You're almost better off finding someone who's just got really good business acumen, and they can find you.
Sure.
So, you know, sure. So I by luck, I happen to be a blend of both.
Mm-hmm.
So I can find the good people because I know stuff.
Sure.
Keep everyone in line. Mm-hmm. Try to keep up. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect or that the system's perfect yet. We're always tweaking it.
Sure.
I mean, but stuff happens, right? Mm-hmm. So the saying in remodeling is, everything's going to cost twice as much and take twice as long. And it's just, and you
hope for the future there.
Yeah, boy. I mean, there's so many times when the twice as long almost comes true.
Sure.
It's just hard holding. And sometimes they're just bad estimators of time.
Mm-hmm.
They just think, okay, I can do this in a month. When I know darn well, it's going to take them two.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as long, and that's all, you know, stuff happens. But what they need, what people drop the ball is when they talk to the homeowner, if they would be upfront with them saying, here's our industry. Here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here's what can happen. We try to hold that out to a minimum.
Sure.
Which is why I'm successful and what I do. So I'm going to, just stick with me here.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a big snow day or the drywaller had run to the hospital.
Sure.
It's not just one day.
Right.
Now the painters say, wait a minute.
You push the whole calendar. Yeah.
And they don't just push it one day. It could push it weeks out. It's like a huge domino.
Sure.
So if one thing happens along the way, it can throw everything off.
Sure.
And by quite a ways.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay if you have an advocate sitting there telling you every day, here's what happened.
Right.
Here's why. Here's what we're looking at now.
Mm-hmm.
But I warned you ahead of time. We talked about this, so it shouldn't come as a surprise.
Right.
We know you have two bathrooms. You have to still use that one for a while because it's going to take another week.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Sure.
Again, it's all about communication.
Sure. Oh, the name of the game. That's the magic word right there.
Yeah.
A lot of builders, renovators that I've dealt with, there's been some that have been really good at communication, but they're the exception to the rule.
Right.
Majority of them are terrible.
Oh, just horrible. Just horrible.
Yeah.
And so
even in person.
Yeah.
They're not that good.
Right, right. A lot of these people, they're, you know, they're not going to win awards for their personality.
Sure.
They're good at what they do, and they should stick to it and let someone else run the show.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. So you've been in business a few years, and you've seen a lot of ups and downs in regards to the construction industry.
Right.
What have been some of the things that you've learned over the course of time that you'd like to share with the audience?
Some of the things I've learned along the course of time. One is I would highly discourage do-it-yourselfers.
Okay.
I've seen so many nightmares. It's unbelievable. Unless you really, really have an aptitude for it, or unless you don't care if it all goes wrong, you at least gonna try it.
Sure.
So if you have those two in it, okay, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst thing ever happened was YouTube, because everyone, I can do it. I can tile this floor.
Sure.
I mean, I'm gonna go on YouTube and I'll tile it.
Right.
You know, and the story about the toilets that rock because
the
new tile wasn't straight.
Sure.
It wasn't, you know, flat.
And
it's on. All these do-it-yourselfers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to save money.
I
get that. But they'll end up spending more, and it's going to make a bigger mess, and it's not going to be nearly as good looking.
Sure.
So there's some times when it is appropriate, and I'll talk to the homeowners, say, how do you feel about this?
Right.
If there's a way I can save them money, they always want to know that.
Right.
But typically they'll say, I'll say, okay, here's what I'm going to do for you. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to do it. We're going to do it in a week. Okay, well, how much can I save if I help you? I go, the price doubles. Because if you're not a licensed carpenter or you're just in my way, you're going to cost me more. Spend more time teaching you how to do it right.
Oh, I remember the days. Yeah. I used to be a mechanic.
Right.
I was under a car one day, and some old guy, super nice guy, but he gets under there, he's grabbing wrenches. I was like, well, time out here, buddy. What are you doing? I'm all elbows. I don't want to be smacking you in the head. You got no safety gear on. I don't know what you know about the car. Like, if this messes up, right, your car blows up 5 minutes out of here, who's liable?
Right.
You're going to come screaming to me when you're the one who tightened the wrench or didn't tighten the screw or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, no. Either you want us to work on it or you want to work on it. There's right. no gray area here.
No, no. There are places in one case this year, we had someone who gutted their kitchen. Okay. They wanted to save some money.
Sure.
So I said, if you want to do the demo work, you seem young and strong.
Sure.
I'll pull out my dumpster here. Mm-hmm. If you want to take 2 or 3 days to tear everything out.
Sure.
But it's very cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Not that gray area you were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want, you got 3 days to completely gut it, and yeah. then I'm coming in. And okay. here's what you'll save.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So you can do that.
So you're not working at the same time as two separate right. projects, right?
And the labor is very distinct. Who does mm-hmm. what? The division of labor.
Sure.
I've had people who wanted to do the painting. They all think that painting is the low-hanging fruit. Right?
Sure.
So I say, okay, it'll save you a little bit.
Right.
But here's the good, the bad, the ugly about painting, just mm-hmm. let you know. And I'm in no way, shape, or form, so I have to write my contract. Painting and all problems associated are up to the owner.
Sure.
Then, yeah, go ahead and do your own painting.
All right.
But you wait till we're all done.
Sure.
So, there's little things like that they sure. can save.
Okay. What have been some of the benefits of owning your own business?
Well, the freedom, like everybody. You sure. say, why do most people want to go into business for themselves? They either say money or freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually freedom more than money. You wouldn't think so, but I think statistically that's what it is.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, even though, and you know this better than anybody, when you're an entrepreneur, people say, well, I'm sick of getting up and working 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Good, because as an entrepreneur, you're going to be working 6 to 8. You're like, yeah. That's always better. So that's what happens. But it's your time. So
right.
So some reason I can put in 60 hours. It feels like working 30 for someone else.
Sure.
So
that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah. So I like that. I like the not only the freedom, what goes along with freedom is it's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful, beautiful summer day. And my wife's saying, you know what? Let's just play hooky and go get a picnic or whatever. So
sure.
I can do that. I can just go do what I want.
Sure.
I can create my own lunch hours because a lot of times I like to meet people over lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I have business meetings. I can take off when I want.
Mm-hmm.
But to let people know that, you know, the phone starts ringing at my house around 6:30 in the morning.
Sure.
And a lot of times then start. I'm getting the emails 10 o'clock at night that I need to answer.
Right, right.
So it's a lot of hours, but the freedom is definitely worth it.
Sure. That's fair. That's fair. I keep thinking I have some people that are emailing me over the weekend, and I like to have a – email inbox 0 on Friday afternoon.
Right.
CC Saturday morning, like, man, I got all these emails. You guys got to just shut it off.
Yeah, yeah. Just
wait till Monday morning, put a controlled send on it or something like that. A scheduled
right.
send so we don't have to deal with this. But let me enjoy my weekend.
Yeah, I think I'm probably, as an entrepreneur, I probably go overboard in the service end of it a little bit. Because as I'm trying to grow, you give them top of line service,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I will be, you know, I'm answering emails at 10 o'clock at night. I'm answering emails Sunday night.
Sure.
You know, whenever you can squeeze it in, you go and, mm-hmm. and return some texts or some emails.
Sure.
And then Saturday mornings, I may run to the office and do some paperwork and shit again.
Sure.
So with that freedom comes a lot of responsibility.
Sure.
Too.
Sure.
So you got to stay on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how having a business acumen helps.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, because otherwise you would just, or you have the money to shell it all out. So if you can open up camp and you can already hire a day-to-day accountant, you can already hire.
Right.
You know, then you're fine. But most people, when they start off, don't have those kind of financial freedom right away.
No, it's interesting. From the classes that I've taught and talking to some of the clients that I have with business coaching, you learn there are some assumptions that I had about people that own businesses, that they knew stuff like what a P&L is and a balance sheet is.
Yeah.
And they knew to keep track of money coming in and going out.
Right.
And that's not the case.
No.
That is
no.
so not the case, which blew my mind. Because I'm like, how do you know if you're making money? Like, if I have some in my wallet, I guess it's good.
You know, and you hit a good point. From my experience, what I can see is that most people do not keep track of their accounts payable.
Mm-hmm.
So they think at the end of the month, wow, I had a good month, but they haven't paid their bills yet.
Sure, yep.
You know?
Look at all the money in the bank. We're all good.
Yeah, so unless you have checks, you have money.
Right.
So, yeah. Or we can always just get an extension on our credit card because I know next month will be really good.
Yeah, yep.
You know, that's a scary one, too.
One more week.
Yeah.
Cool. I get it. Well, Jim, thank you very much for stopping by. This has been a blast.
Yeah.
I think you helped a lot of homeowners with some information. Why don't you tell us the website one more time?
It's at homeadvocatemadison.com.
Awesome. Homeadvocatemadison.com. Couldn't be easier. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the country. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. This radio program has been brought to you by Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. You can find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as sunprairiemediacenter.com. And Jim, I want to thank you once again for coming over.
Well, thanks for having me.
Homeadvocatemadison.com. Awesome. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. If you do nothing else, enjoy your business.